I thought the scariest part of The Shining was the font.
It's Flicks and That with Steve Newell.
Steve.
G'day.
How's it going?
Good, thanks. I've pulled myself back together after a fairly large other's way on the weekend. Thank goodness for long weekends.
Yeah, I know. Man, tell me about it. I was much in the same boat after two nights of Steve Gunn, an other's way mixed in there, a Red Bar 9 mixed in. Man, only today I'm really sort of starting to feel back on top of it.
I think you're going to need to strategize a little bit when Red Bar hits double figures at the next installment.
Yeah, double digits. So good.
It's going to be a big one.
Red Bar 10, man.
Prestigious.
Looking forward to it. Now, Steve, did you find any time to watch some television or film over the last couple of days of recovery?
I did, actually, and thank you very much, Labor Weekend and Labor Day. Things got really nice and slow for me. And I fell into this perfect comfort show that it's a little ways away from being able to watch the second season, which I got to chip away at in advance. But I got reminded how great Apple TV's Slow Horses is. This is a Gary Oldman starring espionage show. I remarked when the first season came out about a year ago that you could practically smell Oldman through the screen. He plays the boss of basically where agents go when they crap out in their careers.
This is a BBC thing, right?
It's an Apple TV show.
Apple TV.
Slow Horses. And he's just basically like the worst boss that's just kind of challenging you to quit. But not necessarily just through words, but also through rank farts, too many diaries, gross threadbare socks. It's probably the grossest Gary Oldman's been. And I was actually just reminiscing about Bram Stoker's Dracula today, in which he's also quite gross, but I think this guy Jackson Lamb is grosser. This show made a mark of me when it came out, and then I've just been chipping away, sort of just check in on season two, having had some advanced screeners, and suddenly it was like five episodes later. I'd just been watching it all day. So that's while it's a bit of a tease to say this thing that you can't watch, I'm talking about, you can watch season one, and if you're in the mood for some kind of gentle espionage that's also really top notch. It kind of balances both those things. It's quite easygoing, but also really well written with some great performances. You should check that one out.
It gets a pretty good 95% on Rotten Tomatoes.
What? Who's the 5%? Good lord.
It's pretty strong.
Let's have words.
Man, holy smokes.
It's kind of a nice thing in that it's set in the present, but it's got nice kind of old fashioned spycraft. It's not too gadget oriented.
Yes.
It's not, nothing's the end of the world. It's not 24. It's not like, you know, there's no
atomic
the president's
bomb
daughter has not been kidnapped. There is no atomic bomb.
Yeah.
It's just spy work with some consequences. Like there's a bit of a fatality list, but it's old fashioned, and I quite liked that, and especially liked that at the end of my long weekend.
Mm-hmm.
Something that's not old-fashioned is a new show on Prime Video called The Peripheral. This has had its first couple of episodes out now. I got really excited when this show was announced back in 2018. It's an adaptation of a sci-fi novel from one of my faves, William Gibson. I don't think I'm certainly not in the minority, I think, of him being a favorite author. But The Peripheral, I loved this when it when the book came out. And back in 2018, the idea of Jonathan Nolan and Lisa Joy, who make Westworld, adapting it, seemed like the best thing in the world. I think season two of Westworld was either on or was kind of wrapping up. However, now in the present we live in, we've had seasons three and four of Westworld, a show that just continues to deteriorate and become shitter and shitter. And so now I kind of wish that I had a time machine to take this show idea back a few years and go, maybe get someone else to make this. I reckon that's a fitting attitude towards it, because it is a show about time travel. It takes place in two different periods in the future. And what William Gibson managed to do is come up with a time travel logic idea that is really simple to understand and doesn't involve lots of like circular logic and loopity-doopity things. There's just these two time periods. They're linked. They can communicate with one another, and time moves forward at the same rate in both of them. Mm-hmm. So they can communicate electronically with one another, but that's kind of the extent of it. However, the one in the future does have the benefit of knowing a whole lot about the one in the past.
Mm-hmm. Some gambling going on, perhaps?
There is absolutely some market manipulation going on. Mm-hmm. However, the more things that they change, the more that becomes unpredictable.
My mind's racing. How far apart from each other are the two different time periods?
About 100 years. Ooh. But between them is a civilization-changing event. Gibson came up with this name for a slow-moving apocalypse called the jackpot. It's sort of like revealed gradually in his story about what that entails, but since we are talking about a show that's based on a novel that's been out for yonks, I'm going to talk about it anyway. And so what the jackpot is basically what we're in right now. It's a slow-moving apocalypse caused by a whole bunch of different factors. Back, I think it was 2014 when the novel was published, he rattled off the kind of the things that were happening. It's part climate change, it's part pandemic. He's pre-COVID there, but it's just all these things kind of happening. And really, without being too stridently anti-capitalist, it's kind of the Industrial Revolution and everything since has put us on a path to getting messed up. Then basically sort of what happens is these things just all interweave with one another. And it sounds very depressing because it's kind of what we're doing right now. But on the other side of it ends up a civilization where only 1 in 5 people are still alive, where they continue to make scientific breakthroughs. And they actually live a pretty good life if it wasn't for the guilt and shame and horror that humanity's been through to get there.
Mm-hmm.
That's the world of the peripheral. It stars Chloe Grace Moretz. They're blessed with a fantastic lead actor. And it'll be interesting to see how the Westworld team of Nolan and Joy continue to adapt the book. Right out the gate, I'm sort of sitting there going, oh, that's not in the book. It's not like that.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure with where Westworld has ended up whether they are the best people to make changes to novels by fantastic authors.
So
but we'll,
is this,
we'll
do
see.
Do you think it's to your detriment if you're really familiar with the novel and you're sort of always going to be comparing it to, or are you like...
In a way, but it's just such a great read that I don't feel compromised, and I would still encourage anyone to pick up the peripheral and give it a crack. It's the first of what will be a trilogy of novels sort of set in this world by Gibson. The second one, Agency, was published a couple of years ago. And one of the really interesting ideas he came up with was to kind of get around this time travel stuff was that no one really knows exactly how it happens or what the science behind it is. This is great, a bit like the movie Looper, trying to avoid having to make explanations for things that happen. But there's people in this kind of resource-rich, people-less future can own different stubs, different timelines from the past, and people collect them and can manipulate them. Like, say you're a war enthusiast, instead of playing Call of Duty, you might actually own a reality in which you like set people off having wars against each other. What this does is it just lets him have a playground for all these kind of like alternative histories. And Agency is set in a world very pleasantly where one Donald Trump didn't win the presidential election in the United States. And while that's sort of not the prevailing theme of the book, it certainly sets up a better background to the events in there than the ones that we've had for the past 4 or 5 years. So Peripheral remains to be seen. I think if you're into if you're a sci-fi nerd, you should be on top of this already. If thinking about Westworld makes you annoyed, it's probably one to steer clear of. And maybe between now and early December, when Slow Horses season 2 comes out, you should check out the first bloody season. Highly recommended.
Excellent.
What was that, 95%?
95%. I think the Peripheral gets 64% for that first episode, so here's to that 95, maybe. I can crank it out.
So it's a big win for kind of grotty London, grotty, smelly London over sterile sci-fi US.
Sci-fi is an acquired taste, you know. You're either a sci-fi fan or you're not, right?
I think probably.
Hmm.
I think that's probably true. Also in genre land, kicking off tonight at the Capitol Cinema in Balmoral, is the Terrify Film Fest. It doesn't kick off properly until next week, but tonight is their opening night. They've got the premiere of Barbarian, which is one of the most hyped horrors coming out of the US this year. I don't know very much about it. I've kind of tried to ignore everyone raving about it on Twitter. I know it's about, it involves an Airbnb, someone turning up to an Airbnb, and there is already someone staying there, and that's all I want to know. But I'm going to go check that out tonight. Next week, we'll talk a little bit more about Terrify Film Festival, because it is chock full of good stuff to see from next week onwards.
Are there classics in there?
Oh, there are.
Oh, cool.
There are. There's a dress-up screening of Return of the Living Dead. There is also a screening of The Cabin in the Woods.
Oh, yeah.
And there's a whole bunch of stuff that...
That's a classic, eh?
Yeah.
That is an absolute classic.
It's a modern meta-horror classic.
Yeah.
Really enjoyable watch. And I think both that and Return of the Living Dead will play really well in front of an audience. But we'll talk about some of the newer things, which might... if you can't make it to the festival, probably worth popping on your watch lists. We'll whip through some of those next week.
All right. Hey, thank you very much, Steve.
Maybe I'll see you at Barbarian tonight.
Yes.
Yes.
There we go.
Real auteurs use star wipes.
That was Flicks and That on 95BFM.